That's the first time I've heard a hamstring injury linked to a lap dance. Something is a little bit askew, and I don't use that word too often because I don't know how to spell it.
Buccaneers Panthers, watch it Sunday with Ira Kaufman, the Sage of Tampa Bay Sports, at Big Storm Brewery in Clearwater, 49th Street, just south of Ulmerton Road. Beautiful covered outdoor patio seating, indoors too. Ira's outside. He'll be drinking a bay beer, maybe a Bromosa. Fantastic menu. Come on out. It is always a great time. BigStormBrewery.com. You got mold, you got flood, you've got water damage, storm damage, fire. You call Florida's Elite Restoration. That's it. You just do it. 24/7. Their website has all the information. Floridaselite.com.
You know, Steve, the number one reason that we vouch unequivocally for Florida's Elite Restoration is we know people that have dealt directly with the company. Not hearsay, not some promo that's written by an employee of Florida's Elite Restoration. People that have used this company and can't say enough about the satisfaction from the experience. That is what goes a long way. We know these people. We have talked to these people. And they don't have any reason intrinsically to talk up Florida's Elite Restoration. They're not getting paid by them. They're not paid spokesmen. And when they say, hey, I've used these people two or three times. They've come to my home. They are fantastic. They'll get the job done. They're honest. So that's why we're proud to represent Florida's Elite Restoration.
Do not mess around. Make BillCurryFord.com your first stop when you start shopping this week. Amazing pricing on new trucks, SUVs, used cars. They all come with a nationwide lifetime warranty. Bill Curry Ford, a Tampa tradition for the past 61 years. BillCurryFord.com. General Manager Sean Sullivan will help you personally. He will give you the Ira Kaufman discount. BillCurryFord.com. It all starts there. Buccaneers fans, here he is, the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the baron of Big Storm beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton. Did I mention that beer, Ira? You'll be at Big Storm Beer, Big Storm Brewery in Clearwater Sunday, watching the Bucks game with fans, 49th Street just south of Ulmerton Road. But all the fun here on the Ira Kaufman podcast is presented by Bill Curry Ford. Now's the time. Start shopping. BillCurryFord.com. Our thanks to Florida's Elite Restoration. We'll talk about them and Bill Curry Ford, some of the fun going on there a little bit later. Ira, how are you? You're not on the COVID list, so that's good. I know you're gearing up for at least gaining 5 pounds in the next 4 days. The Bucks, all kinds of things are happening. How are you, Sage?
I'm in flux, just like our favorite football team. I've never seen things turn around in a three-hour span, and I'm not even talking about the final score, which was embarrassing. But that's one game, and you know they're going to win the division, and they're going to make the playoffs. So that part, you know, is not critical. It's not fatal. It's inexplicable, but it's not fatal. These are serious, serious injuries. And while Godwin's the only one we know for sure that's not going to suit up in mid-January, we can't be assured that all the rest of them will, including Antoine Winfield, Lee, Levante David, certainly, Evans, Fournette. Lee, they're picking guys up off the street, and I hope people don't think they're not putting too much stock in Le'Veon Bell, Lee. There's a reason he's been out of football. Guys, at his peak, Le'Veon Bell was a hell of a football player. He did a tremendous job for the Steelers for about 3 or 4 years, but that's a century ago. Lee, he's not in football shape. He don't know the playbook. If he gets a couple of carries, and more importantly, a couple of catches, you know, more power to him. Lee, this is not going to be an easy game. I don't know. The Bucs are no longer the favorites to win the Super Bowl, Lee. I think they're in the third slot behind Green Bay and Kansas City. And I think that might be a little charitable at this point. Lee, I think there's some other teams that could be ahead of the Bucs in that regard.
I'm going to use the term again, even though it drives Steve wild. I think the Saints broke the Bucs, not just because of the loss, not because they showed once again like Rex Ryan did and Wade Phillips did, how do you stop Brady, but the injuries. The only way they're going to recover from this defense has to play lights out. And Le'Veon Bell, in my eyes, is a very sad example of what greed can do for you. He was the best dual threat running back in the NFL when he was with the Steelers. Then he sat out a year demanding more money. Never the same. Not even remotely the same. He was done. He killed his career. He could have been remembered for decades as one of the best running backs the NFL has ever seen. Now he'll be remembered as a joke that wants to go turn into a boxer.
That's a great point, DeKemper. Shame on Bell's agent, because he doesn't make that kind of a decision in a vacuum. And in fact, Lee, I wouldn't be surprised if the agent was the driving force in his decision. Steve, you sit out a season. Now, Gronk did it. Finished last year strong and still a good football player. But a running back's a different story, Steve, and Lee's right. Bell's just, he's far from what he was with the Steelers at his peak. Far from it.
Well, of course he is, but it is an interesting story, and I can't blame the agent. I mean, in 2018, if he wanted to play, he would have played. He didn't feel like playing. So, I mean, if he was burned out, I mean, that's him. That's his decision, but the guy just didn't want to play. The Steelers were offering him plenty of money. He just didn't want to play, and then he made the mistake of signing with the worst team in football, and and so he got beat to shreds, you know, 250 carries or so with the Jets on turf, with no offensive line, and he was like the number two target on the team in the passing game. So then, then he emerges and he's not the same player. So he's just an emergency situation here. I don't believe that the Bucs plan on using him really. And Ira, I saved it for today because it was so much fun. But Bruce Arians very, very firmly said on his Tuesday radio show that he's counting on big plays from Keyshawn Vaughn, and that he hopes Vaughn will trust his hands, because he's got good hands. He's just got to trust them. And he had a couple of drops, Arian said, but it's just because he didn't, it maybe sounded like he was a little nervous, and he's convinced Vaughn can run the football, pound the rock. So this is the dream scenario for Keyshawn Vaughn. Fournette's done for at least the regular season. The guy who they got because they didn't really trust Vaughn, Giovanni Bernard, he's out too. So look, Vaughn's going to get some action here. And somebody's got to step up, otherwise the Bucs are going to lose games.
I can just see Lee shaking his head. I mean, I got this image when you started lavishing praise on Keyshawn Vaughn. Lee, we got to be fair, Lee. We don't have enough of a sample size on Keyshawn Vaughn. It would be unfair to judge him as a bad draft pick. It's too early. It's too premature. I'm not willing to do it, Lee, until I see him have a 15-carry day. 5 passes sent his way, and he starts dropping balls left and right. So I'm not going there, but I certainly don't think he's shown enough that I have a great deal of confidence in him. Lee, just give Jones the ball 20 times. I don't see a problem. Give the man the ball, the rock, 20 times.
We'll start with Keyshawn Vaughn. I was in the exact same boat you were, Ira, last year. Didn't touch the ball a lot. I think one or two plays he did okay. But you can't base everything on one or two plays. But I was giving him the benefit of the doubt. He's a rookie. Let's see what happens in the future. Well, you got to be ready to play. And you're saying, well, I'm going to hold off making any pronouncements on Keyshawn Vaughn until he gets 15 carries. This is not the Bucs of the lost decade. This is the Bucs that have the Super Bowl circled on their to-do list. Why should this guy deserve 15 carries? He's got to earn it. He's got to be ready to play, and if he doesn't earn it and he isn't ready to play, then he shouldn't be on the field. So that's where I am at with Keyshawn Vaughn. He looked terrible last Sunday. He was pathetic. The pass he went out for, he looked like he ran a wrong route, then he tripped over his own feet, and right there is why they got Le'Veon Bell. I think Le'Veon Bell won't trip over his own feet. I think Le'Veon Bell will run an okay route. That was terrible. And then now Ronald Jones. And this is not a kick Ronald Jones when he's down tie right here. Bruce Arians this week was asked why Rojo didn't get more carries and they put Keyshawn Vaughn out there. His response was, he's gassed. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Hold on. Time out. He's gassed. What the hell has he been doing since July? Give me a break. He's gassed. Are you kidding me? And I think at that point, Arians told Light, we got to get another running back in here. We're through with Rojo. I'm done trying to build up his confidence. I'm done trying to deal with his head case. We spent 3 years trying to build him up and build up his confidence and let him know he's a valuable asset. Then he turns around when we need him and he's gassed. Jason, go get me a running back. Was Nick Leverett a third-string guard when he had to play against the Colts early in the game? Did he say he was gassed and need to tap out? Hell no. Ronald Jones is gassed? Are you kidding me? Why? What has he been doing that he's gassed? I'm glad you sort of teed me off there, Ira, because I had to go off of that. I'm not anti-Ronald Jones, but if someone who was good with that, that a guy who's allegedly been practicing since July and he hasn't been getting the ball that much, all of a sudden he's gassed 2 days before Christmas or 3 days before Christmas, give me a break.
Some great points, Lee. Steve, I think we have to say something is a little bit askew, and I don't use that word too often because I don't know how to spell it. Steve, something's a little bit askew with Ronald Jones and the coaching staff. Something's going on.
Hey, Ira, can I butt in here for a second? It doesn't matter. Whatever's been askew, whatever's been the head case, the this, the that, it doesn't matter now. He is the go-to guy on Sunday to lock up the division. We don't know if Antonio Brown's going to even play. The guy's been limited in practice for 2 days. One was a walkthrough, and today was a big nothing. They're not really practicing. The guy hasn't played in 2+ months. I mean, no Mike Evans, no Chris Godwin. Antonio Brown is not going to be ready to go big time. They've got a good pass rush in Carolina. They need Ronald Jones to pound the rock, and it doesn't matter, askew or not, if they could think he's a head case, they're going to just love the guy from now till the end of the season. He's not coming back next year. I think we can all see that, and they're just going to give that guy the ball. That's going to be the recipe here and see if he can go wild for the cash.
Steve, I don't disagree that that should be the recipe, but what Lee and I are both saying is we're not sure that's going to be the go-to guy on Sunday, and if he's not, that will show all we need to know about his coaches feel about Ronald Jones. That thing about him being ghastly, that doesn't hold any water, in my opinion.
I agree, Ira. And if he was gassed, and I don't know why he would be, but let's say, give him the benefit of the doubt. Okay, he was gassed last Sunday. He got, what, 15, 20 carries? I don't know.
Eight.
Eight? How are you going to get in shape in 1 week to get 20 carries? And by the way, did you see Brady scolding him when he did his duck out of bounds before the first down marker?
Boy, Sean Sullivan goes crazy about that, Lee. Just drive Sean Sullivan crazy.
No, he's right. Unless he's sick. That's a fair question. We don't know if he was sick, and I'm not talking about COVID. You know, he could have had the cold. Who knows? Maybe flu, whatever. Maybe he was sick. Maybe that's why he was gassed. I don't know. But that's like, what's going on here? What?
Well, it's possible that he's been eating like Ira. That's possible. That's always possible. All
right. Steve, here's the opposite of the whole Ronald Jones situation. Steve, when he plays, the guy's productive. When he runs the football, he's not a bum. He's not averaging 1.9 yards a carry like he did as a rookie, which, by the way, is a mark that I in my lifetime, and who knows how long that's going to be, I won't see that again, Lee, 1.9 yards a carry. You won't see it. So I don't know what's going on with Jones, but it always seems to be something.
Well, the recipe for success, Ira, lives at Bill Curry Ford. It's the final days for the 2021 blowout, 0% APR for 72 months, plus 500 cash back through January 3rd. You can get a new F-150, and there are a lot of details, as well as other vehicles under that umbrella at BillCurryFord.com. GM Sean Sullivan, he's going to be there all next week. It's the biggest week for buying a vehicle in the country. Sean's going to be there. He will help you personally. He'll give you the Ira Kaufman discount. And Ira, I'll make the announcement. You just bought what you were leasing, which was your 2020 Cherry Red Ford Escape. You loved it so much, you bought it. And you yourself got the Ira Kaufman discount, which I find very ironic and interesting. But BillCurryFord.com, GM Sean Sullivan, go to the website there, and you can find how to reach him by email. Ask him a question. say, Sean, I saw this on the website. Can you hook me up with this? Or Iris says you can do this. And this is the week to do it.
My son bought a house in Ohio. He's living in Parma, which I believe it's a Cleveland suburb. He told me a couple of weeks ago that he's interested in buying a Ford vehicle. And he's going to come here from Ohio just to purchase the vehicle from Bill Curry Ford, because he knows he's going to get a great deal from Sean Sullivan. I was there a couple of days ago, had a great experience. Sergio was my salesman, very sharp. You know, in the middle of everything, Steve, he called Sean Sullivan to come down to the showroom. Sullivan was in meetings, and I turn around, and there's Sullivan. And so he gets involved in the deal and sweetens it. Steve, you can't go anywhere else where you're going to deal directly with a general manager. That just doesn't happen. Lee, you know that. Take advantage of this situation at Bill Curry Ford.
You know, sometimes Sean's in meetings. We understand that. And Bill Curry Ford is undergoing a major remodel. And before, Sean's office was separated from the showroom. Well, now with the rearrangement, since they're under construction, and yes, they are open, when you enter Bill Curry Ford, Sean's desk is straight ahead, maybe 20 feet from the entrance. You walk straight to him and start hollering at him about JPP, about Ronald Jones. You don't have to ask anybody where Sean. You can go straight to his desk as long as he's not in the meeting. You can go straight to his desk, just straight ahead, up against the wall his desk is, and start talking about O.J. Howard. And next thing you know, he'll be dropping the price on a quality Ford vehicle for you.
Ira, listen to this. Your buddy Rondé Barber, he was adamant. He was putting his foot down, saying the Bucks absolutely can run the ball. They did it against Buffalo. They did it against Indianapolis. And they, quote, just choose to let Tom Brady, the best player at the position arguably ever, they choose to let him win football games for them through the air. And apparently Barber thinks that choice now inevitably is going to change, and he's confident they can just grind it out. I don't know if I have the same level of confidence as Barber, but I am confident they can run the ball. And the Panthers coming up this weekend, Ira, 19th against the run, but the defense is good overall. They're number one against the pass, fewest yards allowed through the air. They've got the good pass rush. They've got a Pro Bowl pass rusher there. And, running the ball, this is the week we got to see it. I mean, you have three Pro Bowlers, Ira. We're going to talk about the Pro Bowl, Tristan Wirfs, Ryan Jensen, Ali Marpet, Pro Bowlers. Obviously, the other guys on the line are good. Gronk blocking. You got to be able to run the football because this is the week you got to do it.
Absolutely right. And Lee, one of the reasons, and I think it was fair, the question the play calling, and I don't know whether you want to talk about Leftwich or ultimately Brady, I don't really care. But this goes directly to a DeKemper point that he makes every podcast, and it's hard to argue against. Lee says, I'm about productivity. So Lee, hear me out. At a certain point, Lee, Sunday night, the passing game was going nowhere, and Evans and Godwin were sidelined. And Gronkowski was having a terrible night. And when you add all those things up and they're only losing by 6 points, Mr. DeKemper, it wasn't 21-0. And Lee, you throw in the fact that they were running the ball with productivity, they did not make the adjustment, Lee. They didn't do it.
Absolutely. You're great. I'll enhance your point for you. Brandon Staley was going full-blown Kevin Cash a couple weeks ago against the Chiefs, where, damn the torpedoes, I'm going with the numbers. But he fully didn't understand the ebb and flow of the game, and it bit him in the rear end in the end. Just like Kevin Cash in the World Series. After he blew the World Series, I do the same thing. Well, if you're that dumb, you shouldn't be a manager. I'm sorry. I don't know if it was Leftwich. I don't know if it was Brady. I don't know if it was Arians. But they could see, or they should have seen, they were in an absolute dogfight. They were struggling moving the ball. First downs were critical. And there were several times they had 3rd-and-1, 4th-and-1, and they're throwing the ball 30 yards downfield. You got a quarterback who is exceptional at sneaks. Can't remember if it was a 4th-down or a 3rd-down. Ryan Jensen was undefended. Brady probably could have ran for 3, 4, maybe 5 yards. Instead, he heaves the ball down the field. What are you doing?
It was a terrible night in so many ways, Steve.
So, Ira, let me reset here. So, today we're recording this Thursday night. On Wednesday, the super secret, top secret red phone rang at Joe Bucks Fan World headquarters. And it was information that Levante David is going to miss 4 weeks. And that is the best case scenario, I was told.
Bravo, Isbits. Bravo. You had a scoop. Bravo.
I put that up. The other reports came out that, oh, maybe he'll miss the rest of the regular season. Now he's on injured reserve. But I stand behind what I was told, which is that he's going to miss 4 weeks, and it could be the rest of the season beyond that. It's a crushing blow. You throw in now the official word that Leonard Fournette's done for the season. Antonio Brown's not practicing fully. And Mike Evans, as Lee keeps writing, who knows? And that's true. Who knows? It's a hamstring. I mean, they're probably just going day to day and don't really know what's going on with Evans. Godwin is the mess. And, you know, Ira, the big question is, you know, when you walk around Publix and you're buying your Big Storm beer there, your Bromosa, and you're loading up and, you know, getting all the fudge that you like to eat for the holidays and the things you do. When you're walking around Publix and people run into you and say, hey, Ira, I'm glad you don't have any mold. How you doing? And they ask you, can the Bucks recover from this? What is your answer?
Lee, my answer's simple and I think fair. Yes, they can finish 13-4. Yes, they can. Without Evans and without this guy. But Lee, I'm looking at maybe a second round flameout. You got to be realistic here. And Lee, this Mike Evans thing, let's not be cavalier about it. A hamstring injury that looked bad on a wide receiver, that's a problem, Lee. That's a problem. Mm-hmm. And as you mentioned the other day, and I think astutely, maybe there's an inclination to play Evans when you have a little bit of doubt to try to get him that consecutive streak, 1,000 yards, keep going. I don't know if I would consider that, Lee, but I think it might be a consideration in the halls of one Buck place. I'm worried about Mike Evans at this point, and certainly without Godwin, Evans takes on even more importance, Lee. Who knows what kind of shape Antonio Brown is. So, Lee, you got to say right now, I think it's very, very difficult to imagine the Bucks playing in Los Angeles February 13th. I think it's going to be very hard. It's not impossible, Lee, because they got Brady, and the offensive line's healthy, and Brady's done it before with some more receivers, Lee. That last year in New England that they won the Super Bowl, you know, they had Edelman, they had Gronkowski, and then they had a bunch of guys named Chris Hogan. If I had to bet right now, I don't think you and I would put any money on the Bucks holding up that Vince Lombardi trophy.
No, I can envision them going there. I can envision them, to use your exact words, flaming out in a second round. Can't envision them winning at all, but that's why they play the games. I think the Bucks defense, if they play anything close to what they played against New Orleans, is going to give them a puncher's chance. And what I also will say is, and people get upset when I say this, I fully expect, once again, the Packers to choke. They choke in the playoffs year after year after year after year. So why should I go against that 10-year pattern? They will find a way to choke. I'm convinced of it, Ira. You guys know I listen to Michael Lombardi all the time. I don't always agree with him, but I find him a very, very compelling listen. I think I learn every time I listen. That's why I listen. I want to learn.
Lee, he bumped me out of my usual 5 o'clock spot yesterday on the doggy.
I heard, and you and Russo did a old man radio spot that was so absurd it was almost a parody. That's a whole different subject. It was like I couldn't believe what I was hearing you two guys. Good grief. Anyway, Lombardi said this about Mike Evans, just the hamstring injuries. If I understand what he's inferring, I think he's off base. He was saying, you know, what are these hamstring injuries this late in the season? You shouldn't be getting hamstring injuries. These happen in the summer, in the training camp, early in the season when it's hot. Guys are dehydrated. You shouldn't be getting this in December. And I have to admit, did raise an eyebrow with him before I heard Lombardi. Then Lombardi said this, and this is what I don't get. There's something going on off the field I'd really worry about. What's he mean by that? I don't know. So I wrote that in an article this week on JoeBucksFan.com. And we have some great commenters on our site. And sometimes they really are very intelligent and witty, and they come up with some good stuff, some good angles. And one of our commenters mentioned that Ed Lombardi's talking about partying or whatever. Then the light bulb went off in my head. Lombardi's always saying Tampa is one of a half dozen NFL cities where it's hard to win because there's too many distractions off the field, i.e. the strip clubs on Dale Mabry. Like, Tampa's the only town in America that has strip clubs. Like, New Orleans doesn't have strip clubs. Like, Jersey doesn't have strip clubs. Like, Pittsburgh does. I mean, I can go on and on and on.
That's Atlanta.
Yeah. Well, they don't win anything. So, number one, Evans always gets a hamstring. Has he not had a hamstring injury every season he's played? You know, I'm not knocking him for it. Nobody wants to be hurt. But that's just his DNA. I'm slightly surprised it's taken this long for him to come up with a hamstring injury, number one. Number two, Fournette, that was a violent hit he had. He got helicoptered. He landed really hard. I don't think that hamstring is anything more with Fournette than he took a violent hit.
Steve, that's the first time I've heard a hamstring injury linked to a lap dance, Steve. First time.
Ted's never got a muscle pull.
Hey, Steve, I got a little nugget to drop. It's an opinion, but it's an esteemed opinion, so I want to tell you guys this. I was talking to an NFL executive today, and I asked him directly concerning Chris Godwin, Lee, does the Godwin knee injury make it more or less likely that he is in a Buck uniform in 2022? There was no hesitation. The answer was much more likely that he is a Buccaneer. Much more likely.
Talked about that in the last podcast. Anybody can listen at Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Google Podcasts, wherever, right at JoeBucksFan.com. I'm glad you asked that question, Ira. I'm glad you did. I know who you talked to, and that's good to hear. Everybody should take that to heart because it's legit. I'll throw this in on Michael Lombardi. He's out of his mind. I mean, this is Mike Evans' eighth year in the NFL. He's about to miss his seventh football game. I mean, come on. This is ridiculous. You know, hamstrings happen. It's football. And these guys, I don't know if the fans all realize, but when they walk into One Buck before practice or a training session, like the first thing they do is urinate on a special test that determines how much more hydration they need. That's the first thing they do when they get to One Buck. They check their hydration. So
I do when I go to Publix, first thing, before I go to aisle 8.
I've been known that for that to happen when I walk into Hooters or Big Storm.
The Sage will be at Big Storm Brewery, Clearwater, 1 o'clock kickoff, day after Christmas, Bucks at Panthers, outdoor, beautiful covered patio, nice and safe and relaxing, great sound, great viewing, great food, and great beer, plenty of great beer to take home for New Year's. Get out there. Tap rooms also in Odessa, Cape Coral, in Orlando at Amway Center. And Big Storm just is incredible. You can buy Big Storm beer at Publix, but go to BigStormBrewery.com, punch in your zip code, and you'll find out where to buy it near you. Of course, many establishments have it. Even Ira's famous Chinese place up in Newport Richie, Zen Forest. He got his famous Bromosa there. He's still talks about it every day. But I'm glad you're checking your hydration, Ira.
Steve, they see me coming in Big Storm on these road games. They see me coming from the parking lot. By the time I show up at my favorite table in front of that TV set, I got a Bay beer right on the table. Don't even have to order it, Steve.
So, Ira, Pro Bowl. I got to mention the Pro Bowl. You know, it's supposed to be in Las Vegas this year. That's where it's scheduled to be. And we got five Buccaneers. We mentioned the offensive linemen, but throw in Shaq Barrett for his second Pro Bowl in a Buccaneers uniform. And, of course, Tom Brady. Devin White gets the snub. I bring this up because Bobby Wagner made his eighth Pro Bowl in that spot, and he's going to go, right? I mean, he's not going to skip it, and they're not making the playoffs. Micah Parsons the all-world guy who you probably should vote for as defensive player of the year, maybe, of Dallas. He is the other spot. And if they don't make the Super Bowl, I mean, any rookie is going to show up at the Pro Bowl. So I don't think White, who's an alternate, is going to get his call as it stands right now. But I have to ask you this, Ira. Bruce Arians was on his radio show. He said Devin's back. He's healthy. He was playing with his hair on fire the last couple of weeks against Buffalo. Of course, we saw him ride Josh Allen like a horse. This week, Sunday, knowing that he was snubbed from the Pro Bowl, I personally think Devin White's going to be playing out of his freaking mind, and you know that he's going to just be so over-the-top amped up that he got snubbed like this. What are your thoughts there, guys?
Well, Lee, this is the most popular Buck podcast in the world, but we don't bleed Buck to the point where, we think everything they do is roses. So, Lee, I'm going to go out right now and say I don't like the word snub to be associated with Devin White for this year's Pro Bowl. I don't see it. He hasn't had a bad year, Lee, but it's not like the guy flashes every week. Wagner's going to make it every year on reputation. You know, every year he's got 150 tackles, and they still remember the Legion of Doom when Seattle had a great defense, and he's still playing. So, yeah, there's some reputation involved, but Lee, Devin White snubbed. I'm not buying it. By the way, against the Saints, I thought Lavonte David was the best Buck defensive player on the field, maybe the best Buck player on the field. That makes it doubly frustrating for him to get a foot injury during the late stages of that game. I'm not going there with Devin White. Am I missing something?
What hurt Devin White is Devin White's numbers earlier in the year were way down. I'm convinced it was because he was doing extra things to cover for Lavonte David's absence. I even asked Todd Bowles this. He seemed genuine. His answers seemed logical, so I buy it. I know not everybody thinks Todd Bowles is on the level, but to me it was logical. It sounded reasonable. He said they were asking White to do other things, in part because of David's absence, and that probably cut down his numbers. And so that in the long run hurt Devin White with the Pro Bowl. But you know what? The Bucs got five Pro Bowlers in. Ali Marpet finally broke the glass ceiling. So I'm pretty happy about that. I'm pretty stoked. I saw that more fans voted for Alex Kappa than Tristan Wirfs. Nothing against Alex Kappa, but give me a break. That should be banned. And I know why they have fans. I'm not bitching at fans, but you know what? When you have someone who is the fifth best offensive lineman, and on this offensive line, that's a compliment. If you're the fifth best offensive lineman and you're getting more votes when your teammate to your right is arguably the best offensive lineman, Enough.
It's been an issue at various positions. It's the second year this has happened now. When you go vote, and I'm sure you guys voted for the Pro Bowl many times like I did, when you vote for the Pro Bowl online, you know, if you get to a position that you don't really care about or you're not passionate about it, and okay, you got to pick a guard, well, it's in alphabetical order. So there's there's Kappa sitting right there. So if I'm voting for the Pro Bowl and I am a New York Giants fan, and I don't really have any players to pick, but there's a couple of guys I want to vote for, but I got to fill out the whole ballot. I click on this guy Kappa. He's not got nice hair. I click it. I'm not scrolling down or looking for the W for Tristan Wirfs. So that's just kind of how it goes.
Hey, guys.
Hey, let me say something. Ira, let me follow up here on Devin White. I'm not saying he got snubbed. I'm saying more he believes he got snubbed, and I think it's going to drive him wild. But I think you're right, Ira. He didn't get snubbed. Number one, he didn't force a fumble all year. I don't care where he was changed in his positioning. All those tackles, not one forced fumble. That is on Devin White. Number two, I believe, Lee, he leads the NFL in blitzes. At least he did a couple of weeks ago. So when you lead the NFL in blitzing and you have 3.5 sacks, that's not going to stand out as a guy who's getting home. He was injured. He's coming back stronger, but he didn't get it done. I don't care where they were putting him. You lead the league in blitzes. You didn't get to the quarterback. You didn't force a fumble all year. You're not a Pro Bowler.
I see your point, Steve, in his mind. And he's a kid, and he generally backs it up. Lee, I'll throw this out there. Let's stop the pretense here, DeKemper. And this is directed towards Todd Bowles, who we all have a lot of respect for. Every passing down on Sunday, every one of them, and I don't care who's behind the center, Darnold, Newton, if it's 3rd and 7, Jason Pierre-Paul is on the sidelines. He's on the sidelines, Lee. I notice this try-on kid every time he's on the field. He screws up sometimes. I might not trust him so much on first down. But let's stop the spam over here, Steve. JPP, through no fault of his own, is totally ineffective as a pass rusher at the moment.
Yeah, look, every fan has seen it. We've talked about it. He's not going to snap out of this shoulder issue. It's sad. This is probably his last year with the Bucs. You know, we understand why he's out there because, you know, it's not like they're exposing him against the run, but it's just not what it should be. And I think the Bucs are kind of hoping that maybe JPP can reach deep into his bag of incredible healing, but it doesn't seem to be happening. And now NFL Network says JPP will not even play on Sunday. We'll see what happens. But I got to ask you this, Ira. We're missing also now a couple of things. We're missing Jalen Darden for this game, COVID list. It seems, unless there's a last-minute testing that gets him back, Raheem Nunez-Roches. And Vita Vea was coming off the field for Joe Tryon, who's been rushing inside. So maybe we'll see more Vea in this game. But how do you see those losses, Ira? And who do you think's going to return punts? As Lee wrote earlier, Richard Sherman was out there catching a punt. Maybe that was just for fun. You know, Lavonte David has been seen catching punts over the years. He never returned one in a game. But Sherman did return 4 punts in his career with Seattle. He also, in 2009, returned punts full-time in college. So you think he could be back there, Ira?
Lee, can't Miller or Johnson return a punt? You know, I don't wish Darden any harm. I'm sorry that he's come down with COVID. But, Lee, on the field, that's no great loss, Lee. I mean, let's put it bluntly.
No.
And, Lee, let me throw this out there. You know, I noticed this. Maybe I'm reading too much into it. On one of those 3rd and 1 plays that you were talking about, that Brady threw a long ball, one of them, and Steve knows what I'm talking about because he's watched the film about 9 times. Steve, he threw a long ball to Darden along the left sidelines, and I'll be damned if the cornerback that was playing against Darden wasn't further down the field than Darden. That's how little separation Darden had on that guy, Steve. The guy was ahead of him on that play. Am I wrong?
Look, he's just not equipped to track a deep ball in the NFL right now, especially in that situation. So I know what you're talking about. It looked like it was a little bit overrun by the defensive back, but it also looked very much like Darden had no shot. You know, it looked like just some high school kid. And
No chance. Is that so difficult to find a guy who can return a punt 7 yards? Is that so difficult?
Well, I want to say yeah, because the Bucs' return game outside of last year has stunk forever. When's the last time they had a decent return man? Carl the Truth Williams?
And Lee.
I mean, last year, of course, Mickens did okay.
Yeah, the last good guy was the Pro Bowler, Clifton Smith, when he was a rookie.
That's
back
right.
Chucky's last year, yeah.
And Steve, they've drafted a couple of guys with returns in mind, and they haven't worked out. Hey, by the way, Steve, am I missing this, or am I exaggerating this, or did Arians finally take a little pot shot at Mr. Suckup this week?
Oh, yeah.
He did. Same thing for Pinion, and he said even on his radio show he was even more harsh on Pinion. I didn't write it up yet, but he was basically just said, you know, it's got to be fixed immediately, or, you know, they did bring in a second punter. He's got some sort of hip issue, but, you know, Pinion not getting it done, and he knows that he's got to make those field goals in the playoffs. I mean, they're not going to replace him, even though Matt Gay is going to his first Pro Bowl, which is an interesting discussion on, you know, maybe after the season we'll talk about when players leave and they thrive, where do you point that? You know, do you just say, hey, that's the guy needed to change his scenery? Do you put it on the general manager? I mean, do you just put it on the coach who lost faith? It's an interesting discussion. But Ira, let's get to the game because we got a ball game.
Wait a minute. One more quick thing. along with Matt Gay, guess who made the Pro Bowl as a punter? Brian Anger. Brian Anger. Unbelievable. You can't make this stuff up.
Well, I would argue about Matt Gay. The Bucs didn't cut Matt Gay. Matt Gay cut Matt Gay.
Yeah, I mean,
he cut himself. He had a lousy training camp his second year. If he was kicking well, he would have been here. No more complex than that.
All right, Ira, I'm gonna jump right into this, Ira, because the Panthers' rush defense, it's just not very good, and it's been getting worse. It started off very strong, but it keeps getting worse the last few weeks. I'll just read you the last 4 weeks against Buffalo. 119 yards allowed against Atlanta, who can't run the ball. 128 yards allowed against Miami. 204 yards allowed. Washington ripped them up for 179 yards on the ground. Carolina just can't stop the run. And the Bucs are going to go heavy there. They have to try to establish it, and hopefully they can pull it off. And I'm going to think that they can. Rojo, his confidence has been shaky through his career, on and off, you know, whatever. But he did have that big run, his historic day in Carolina last year. So I think he's feeling really comfortable at whatever that is worth. And I think they'll be able to run it, and they'll just find a way to squeak through this game with Brady making smart decisions. If Cameron Brate and O.J. Howard are worth a crap, they're going to show up in this game. They're certainly going to have plays designed for them. And hopefully Gronk bounces back. And I think the defense is in a good place right now. So I'm going to go with Bucks with sort of an old school kind of score, 21-14.
I think it's going to be a little bit more old school than that. 17-14 Bucks.
I also like the way Steve laid it out. Carolina's offense, guys, it's bad. I mean, it's really bad. Their quarterback play is terrible. They don't even know who their quarterback is. No McCaffrey. DJ Moore, Steve, he may not play. He's by far their best receiver. I'm going 20-10. We're all on the same wavelength here. If the Bucs score 30-35 points, my hat's off to them. But I don't see it. And Lee, this is a game built for Ronald Jones. Let's see if he can get the job done.
And, of course, you'll be at Big Storm Brewery in Clearwater watching with fans. More information is at joebucksfan.com. Bill Curry Ford, thank you. Bill Curry Ford, GM Sean Sullivan is ready. And as we heard earlier, Florida's Elite Restoration, that's your first phone call and your first visit online, floridaseliterestoration.com. Anytime you have a disaster in your home or at your place of business, you find a bunch of mold, you got a leak, floridaseliterestoration.com. Sage, you know, Bucs fans are in a weird place right now. They don't know quite what to expect. And I'm going to ask you this as we go out, Lee, if you want to jump in. But Ira, what's the number one thing right now that you think Bucs fans can count on? Because there's been all this disarray, all this change. For me, I like that the defense is coming back. I'm going to hang my hat on that they're good enough to win these games for an offense that's going to be figuring itself out at least the next three, and then maybe things can get right for the playoffs, more balanced. But what are you hanging your hat on, Ira?
It's the pedigree of the guy under center. Is he 100%? Nobody is. But he's healthy. He's motivated. He's going to bring everybody along with him in this quest to repeat. Let's be honestly, Tom Brady is the reason, and maybe one of the few reasons, for Buck fans to be optimistic about another championship. And until I see that guy vanquished, he gives them a hell of a fighting chance.
This is another example of why the MVP vote, to use your word earlier, Ira, is askew. It should be voted on after the season. Your MVP means this guy is going to be a significant player for you to challenge for a championship, not regular season nonsense. It's all about winning the championship. You play for a championship. This isn't 1925 NFL where the regular season counts. No. It's the whole ball of wax. If somehow Brady gets this team back to the Super Bowl with all these injuries and guys saying they're gassed, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Is there any doubt that guy's the MVP? Last year, I'm convinced. If the MVP voting was after the season, Brady would have been MVP. I'm convinced of it. But it was in before the season. So it's a skew, Ira. You and your MVP guys. You've got it backwards. Needs to be after the season. The whole season. Not the regular season.
They want my ballot January 15th or something like that, Steve. You know, on the brink of the postseason. Ballots have to be in. Lee, do you agree with me that Brady is the reason for hope for Buck Nation?
Yeah. I mean, he's the best. He's the best that ever played, of course. He's the ray of sunshine.
Steve, we got to wish all our listeners happy holidays. It's tense times for a lot of reasons for all of us. But, Steve, I hope we're a little 60-minute ray of sunshine, you know, during some tough stretches.
Well, Ira, of course, we all express the same feelings out to everybody. Merry Christmas, happy holiday season. Of course, we'll be back before all the holidays are wrapped up. But, Ira, I don't know how any of you guys, if the Colts finish strong, Ira, what Jonathan Taylor has done, 17 touchdowns, 1,500 yards, a huge workload, literally winning games for his team. I don't know how you guys ignore the guy. I don't know. I stop with picking a quarterback all the time.
Cooper Kupp? What about Cooper Kupp?
I don't think he can win by virtue of his position, Lee, but he's been spectacular. But I'm with Steve. My ballot right now, I think, would read Jonathan Taylor.
I think, Lee, I think it just, for me, it just comes down to touches. Taylor's got 300 touches. Kupp's got 120 or whatever it is, 140. I think that's the difference.
Ira, did you see what Joe Banner wrote, you know, the ex-Eagles general manager, about the MVP race?
He's very opinionated, that guy, Lee. What'd he say?
He is very opinionated. He thinks it's nonsense that Taylor's even up for discussion. He says the Colts have really good backups. They could still win. He said you take Brady or Rodgers out of the starting lineup, those teams collapse.
Steve, they score a lot of points, the Colts. They score a lot of points. Why do they score a lot of points? Jonathan Taylor. That's why.
All right, Sage, get out of here. Try to get back safe from your events for Christmas out in Orlando. And the folks will see you at Big Storm on Sunday, mowing down wings and all the things that you do. We're looking for a Bucks victory, guys. If they lose on Sunday, I don't even want to be around. I don't even want to be around.
Ooh. You're not getting Buck and Aikman on Sunday, Lee. You're not getting them.
No, Flareth and some guy I never heard of before.